for those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is The God Journey. Well, I find myself in the country of Ireland and back with a good friend. We've had him on the podcast before, but Dave Rice is joining me today. We'll do a little bit of talking about some of our time here and some of the things on your heart and our heart as we've talked together. But welcome, Dave.
It's nice to have you. So, have you here with us after quite a while?
I've been 5 of the last 7 weeks in Europe, starting in Russia to Holland, home for 12 days, back for 3 weeks now in France, and then over to Ireland. Sarah's got to join me the last 2 weeks of this.
All the better for having her here, too.
It is all the better for having her here.
It's been great.
And we had a wonderful time in France beginning. I mean, we just, particularly when I was alone early on, we had some interesting, but that seems like miles away now. Just, I don't remember that. And then when Sarah flew out, I met her in Paris and we went out to Angers and had some time with some younger couples in their late 20s on this journey. And kind of a network of folks in a fairly complicated situation for a number of reasons, but lovely time. And then Sarah and I got 3 uninterrupted days in Paris together, just the two of us. So
well, that's wonderful. And she likes it, I believe.
Paris is her favorite city for God knows what reason, but I don't know, I had the sense when I was down in the southern part of France that God was saying, this is a gift to Sarah. These 3 days is his gift to her.
Mm.
And I was actually going into the bathroom when this thought runs through my head, and I'm kind of going, oh man, where does that come from? And yet, I really bought into it. I just really felt, man, that is God. This is his gift to her. And the other thing was, I don't want you to mess it up, which I have an infinite capacity to do, especially when we're in cities and seeing things that aren't
all the things you love.
Aren't necessarily the things I love deeply, but it set me in a different frame of mind. It really allowed me. I told Sarah when she came, I said, this trip's all about you. Whatever you want to do in Paris, we'll do. And I'll be happy to serve that. And she'd write back and say, no, this is both of us. We've got to do what we do together. And I said, we'll do it together, but I'm going to enjoy you enjoying Paris, which was a different mindset than me trying to enjoy Paris. And I've always thought God was brilliant to do this in Paris, because there's not much in Paris I care to see. So it's not like I'm not trying to drag her anywhere. That was helpful. But it was a life. We talked about this a little earlier in the week, because I don't know what this means. To live inside a gift with someone else and to be there purely to serve it and not to have this agenda of my own or the things I would want to do or the things I want to say.
Yeah, I really blessed to when you said that, just the thought of being able to walk with the Lord where his agenda is what we take delight in, where we're not struggling to be doing our own thing there in any of it. It's just, that's a fascinating thought. It fits in with a lot of what I've been thinking about for maybe 3 or 4 years now.
Well, about the third day in Paris, it's starting to disturb me. I'm thinking, what if God wants me to live this way all the time with Sarah?
Yeah, it's great. Gosh. Fantastic.
Yeah, it would be. I hope. But other cities, I have more agendas. But no, I really do think, and not even just Sarah, but the idea that God's, and I like the idea of living in God's giving instead of living in our attempts to get God to do what we think God should do.
Yeah, so different. I mean, there's no reluctance on his heart when it comes to sharing himself and to sharing with us the goodness. We think we always know better. We think it's, you know, if we can somehow manipulate God to our way of thinking. It's so easy for us to be like that.
Yeah, partly it's that, and I think it's what you hinted at. It's just, we don't really trust that God has our best at heart. Mm. So I think religion taught me God's this miserly deity, and if you can ingratiate yourself enough, he might throw you a tidbit. And so you work really hard just to try and stay on God's good side. And to think about, I don't care about what I want, I just want to live by what God gives, I think would have been foreign. I don't know how you would live inside what God gives when God's not a giver in your mind. But this journey of living loved by him, I now more mistrust what I want than
that's a special.
Yeah, that I mistrust what God would have.
That's the way to be. Yeah. I'm sure of it. I mean, just it's got to drop somewhere from our heads to really possess our hearts that his love is absolutely the best. There is nothing better than what he provides for us in love.
Yeah, and even where Jesus told us to live, to not be so preoccupied with getting,
yeah,
that we can't live by what God's
totally
giving.
So.
And then he goes on to say, because God knows everything you need more than you do.
Mm.
He's got your interests at heart.
Totally.
But most of us haven't lived that way. I haven't lived that way most of my life. I've lived as if he doesn't have my best interest at heart. I've got my best interest at heart, and doggone, I'm trying to get God to be my fairy godmother and give me what I want. And yet all that's been so empty and so foolish.
Yeah, I think it ties in a little bit with the way I've been thinking. For a number of years, I've had a concern that a lot of what we are as church is really self-centered rather than, or even body-centered rather than centered on him. And if we are to be the people who fulfill what he's called us to be, then if it's true also that there's no reluctance on his heart when it comes to sharing his desires, then how wonderful it must be to start to experience the sort of agreement Jesus had with Father when he walked this earth. He says, I only do those things I see my Father do. It's my meat to do what he wants and to walk with him and to live that way, even though he would have had as much right to be here, Son of God, with all, but there was not an independent, different agenda. Nothing in him could think apart from what was in Father's heart. And that sense of agreement. So I was thinking, you know, where he talked and Philip said, oh, just, you know, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. And he says, Philip, how long have I been with you? And you say, show us the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. And that there was that total agreement between him and Father. And it challenges me deeply that if that is the case, and also that there is on Father's heart an agenda for us, a purpose for us to be in this world, how wonderful if we start to hear, we're in on that agreement that is there between Father and Son, that he brings us into hearing his agenda and trusting him to bring it to pass. I think it changes our whole outlook. It changes the reason why we're on the earth, to be here for his purposes, and to let him be the one who decides what those purposes are. That's special.
Yeah, but for us to get there, this is the chicken before the egg kind of thing. To get there, you really have to lay down your agenda.
Everything.
But you really can't lay down your agenda until you know you're loved.
Mm, totally.
But until you lay down your agenda, you're not going to know you're loved, because you're judging God based on what you want. And this is one of those things that, which I love about this life in Jesus. It defies a principle. It's not a principle of, here's how to lose your agenda and then you'll be in this living love thing. Somehow you and God, in a dance, in a way of relating, he gets to win you out of your agenda. Because I know there have been places where I've had to lay down my agenda. And there have been other places where I didn't really lay it down so much as I saw how worthless it was, because God had won me into a better space.
Yeah.
So I don't know if people are sitting there saying, gosh, I've got agenda all over and I don't know how to lose it. You have any thoughts about, I know you guys are big here on laying it down and laying down those things.
Well, I don't know. It, for me personally, at a personal level, I way back just saw I was a failure. A failure at being a husband. I was a failure in so many areas. And the Lord said to me years ago, he said, I want you to seek me just to know my love. I'm talking 40 years back.
Hmm.
And just to know my love. And for a year, I spent time just, I couldn't hear. The scripture was like nothing. It was just all the things I was struggling to believe and the things that you needed faith for and all of this. None of it meant any sense. I just felt empty about it. And after about a year of just holding that before the Lord, I trust you, Lord, you love me. I trust you that you don't want me working so hard on my own spiritual life, that you want me to just know who you are. Then the day came, and I remember it so distinctly. I woke up one morning and said, hey, it's all different. I can trust him. He loves me. And there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing I can do to improve on that. And I don't have to try to believe. And suddenly the scriptures started to come alive again. And I didn't see them as something I got to struggle to make happen. The promises of God were there for me. I don't know what happened in that time, except that there was a dying and a hearing that just came new.
You anticipated my question. You're going, what happened?
I don't know what happened.
I know people are just, and I think it's the hardest thing. You really want this journey. I got an email last night from a sister I've had some exchange with for a season, and she's just saying, I've tried this for 3 years, listened to everything we've done, read stuff. All she can see is this God of incredible anger and punishment in Scripture that defines everything for God. She's trying to find a way to live loved. And, you know, I know it would be wonderful if I could give people just, here's these three simple steps. You do this tonight, you'll be fine by morning. It doesn't exist. There's this.
Well, there are a whole lot of things. First and foremost for me, it was the grace of God. Just his grace that allowed, you can't lay anything down without his grace. You just, to let go needs his grace.
How did you find that? Did you find that first in Scripture, or did you find that first in the reality of
No, absolutely not. I had struggled to, I knew the New Testament, I knew all those faith verses, I knew what to claim to hold to this. None of it ever made sense. I'd come to the end of all of that. People around me were big into hyper-faith and everything else. Yeah. People criticized me. I know my own mother didn't understand what I was talking about when I said, look, I can't do this anymore. And she said, get yourself, come on, rouse yourself, get in there, believe God.
And all those bootstraps, go for it. Yeah.
And I said, sorry, it's not like that anymore. He's told me to seek him. I've only heard one word in a year and a half, and it was, he told me to seek him to know his love. And I'm weak. For the first time in my life, I'd known a little bit of physical weakness. None of the things that I was preaching and holding, none of them seemed to be working. And suddenly it all just fell away. And over that time, I'm just so thankful that Nina was, she stood with me. She said, I understand what's going on. And she trusted the Lord alongside me. But the day came, I woke up one day and I said, it's new. I'm not in charge anymore. I just don't have to be. He loves me. And it's never been different ever since.
And how long would it have been between that word and that kind of
about a year? About a year and a half.
Yeah. In the meantime, did you kind of think?
No, I worked every day. I mean, it's fascinating the things that happened, because I'd been preaching health and wholeness and all that you think. I had to miss 2 days I was a teacher. I had to miss 2 days of school. And one of my friends, teacher, colleague said to me, because I didn't realize this was the way they held me in the esteem they held me, or the criticism they or whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
And he said to me, I wasn't in the pension scheme at the time, because I thought I wasn't going to be in teaching too long. I was going to be out full time and all the rest. And he said the next morning when I came back, he said, now you've shown us you're not immortal. He said, are you going to join the pension scheme? And I said, what? And I said, it hit me like a, you know, just, what am I holding up here, trying to show everybody? They're all seeing through it, laughing at.
Oh, I have so many flashbacks. Don't do this.
I'm so glad he said that. He's a dear friend ever since. But it was perfect to just shake me and say, wow, is that what I have been out there? Everyone seeing this big, great believer who's
a great man of faith and power who's living an illusion.
Total illusion.
Yeah.
So we over a period of time, it just changed, and I just came to know it. I don't have to keep any of this up. If he doesn't keep me up, I'm an utter, total failure.
Yeah, I think it is kind of backwards that we would have taught, okay, we're going to know God by studying the scriptures. Mm. And then come out with a systematic theology totally. That defines the nature of God, yeah. and then we can walk with that reality. And it,
yeah.
that's not the way we got to know our parents. That's not the way we got to know
absolutely.
Aunt Maud. That's
no,
you know, it
totally.
Was you lived alongside. You learned to sense. You learned to know.
Yeah.
And I know as I travel this journey, and particularly the last 5 weeks and five of the last seven in Europe, and a lot of the dialogues I've been to Russia, Holland, France. People are still looking for the set of principles that'll help me live, Wayne, like you live.
Mm.
And
which is a silly thing to try and do anyway. You're to live like they're meant to live.
Yeah, absolutely. But there is the this idea that there are a set of principles I can wrap my head around, and then I'll be able to convince myself I'm loved, and then I'll be able to live as if I'm loved. It's very different from...
But isn't it wonderful that the Lord is reserving for us a special place in relationship with Him? This ain't going to work outside of that.
Yeah.
And so when we learn to the confidence to come and stand before Him, as it were, naked, and nothing, not trying to add something to it or not trying to make something happen, but just so happy with His agenda, just so thrilled that I don't have to be something to impress anybody.
Especially Him.
Yeah, especially. And there's no impressing God with any of it.
And you can read the last part of Galatians 2 in the Message if you want to get part of it. Paul's, the way Eugene Peterson translates Paul, he's saying, I'm no longer trying to impress you, and I'm no longer trying to impress God.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think, wow, there's the freedom, that whole anti-religion, I've got to appease God or get Him on my side by being good enough on a given day. I do think there's this giving up place where I'm not going to keep fighting for Him. I'm not going to keep trying to force even a relationship with Him to happen. I'm just going to give up fighting for it. I'm going to keep my heart open to it. I hope, Brad and I have talked about this a lot, suspend the thing in me that says God's angry and mean and punishing and against me. Somehow suspend that, because I know you can't fully overturn it, but you can say, I'm not sure I'm going to trust that anymore. That all creates some space, I think, into which God can rewrite.
Yeah, He's not going to love us anymore by anything we do.
Yeah.
It's not going to, and, you know, right now, we are never going to be more loved than we are right now.
Yeah,
that's amazing. And when I look at my life and I see so many things that I wish were different, so many times you struggle and you want to be someone who can trust God in this or that or whatever. It doesn't matter if He's not Lord of it and He's not doing it. What's the point? Mm-hmm. And yet, so waking up every day and just knowing how much we're loved, it's wonderful. And I feel, and I've so many times over the years, I just said, Lord, You have ordained for me boundaries which are in such pleasant places. And I love being your child and walking Your love. I can't think of anything I'd want to be. I can't think of anything I'd want to do in this world that's outside of You.
And that's not necessarily pleasant places that all my circumstances are good or easy. It's not circumstantial.
Not like that at all.
Yeah.
No.
I think people hear it that way. Well, my circumstances are really rough. But no. That God is with me in these things.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
That God would think enough of Sarah to say, I'm going to give her 3 days in a city she loves. And I want you to serve that. And I just think what that means for her, that the God, I mean, I've had moments like that where I know God's carved out a specific space for me to enjoy Him. And I look back on those experiences and, oh gosh, but it's that engagement. What I want to say, here's what I think flies in the face of the principles, is that we really learn to listen, to know Him and to listen to Him. You guys are big on that here. And I love that when I'm around, and even yesterday in our time in the field together, we kind of had a moment in Dave's field, which a few days before didn't look like was going to happen. You said you're in the middle of monsoon season here.
That's right. Well, it's always monsoon in Ireland.
Ah, but you had a couple of weeks.
We had torrential rain.
A couple of weeks ago, you guys had beautiful sunny weather.
We had wonderful weather, and then we've had 120 millimeters of rain the last week.
And Sarah and I arrived, and it's rainy every day, and the field's underwater, and we're even out there Saturday morning going, maybe we can't do it here. Mm-hmm. And then we had the sun come out.
It's just wonderful.
We had about 80 people, I think, in your field next door, and some people from Northern Ireland, some people from England, Australia, Holland. Goodness, we had.
Yeah, I worked out every continent except Antarctica was represented.
Really?
Yes.
We had people from Asia?
Yes.
Ah.
Well, one from the Philippines?
Yeah.
With Australia?
South Africans?
We had many South Africans.
Yeah.
Holland? England, Ireland.
And it was just kind of Wayne's in town, let's throw an event together, and it was kind of that simple. Nobody, we didn't go out and invite lots of people.
I didn't know and most of the visitors, a lot of those visitors I'd never met before, and I was so glad I had.
And I heard some great stories. And people I've met online, they've emailed me at moments of desperation. I mean, really, I'm giving up on this whole God thing. I mean, that desperate.
Hmm.
Just sitting here yesterday. And this was 6 months ago, but sitting here yesterday with a smile on their face, and God has led us into this incredible space. And I did not expect that just from what I'd seen 6 months ago. I mean, I was grateful they were coming. I thought it's probably still a...
Yeah.
And they're still growing. They wouldn't say they've arrived anywhere, but they're just...
Yeah, that's lovely.
Just to see the joy on their faces.
No, that's great.
I've been here a number of times, really haven't spent time with folks from Northern Ireland, so they have a group come down from
up
there.
It's nice. Maybe there's a future there.
Yeah, to see what God does with that, and but the idea of how we help people learn to listen to God, and because most people who say that stuff, well, God told me so and so, most people are out of their rockers. You know, they're saying
yeah,
really
I know what
corny
you mean.
Stuff.
But you know, I've a thought just coming to me as you speak that a lot of folks, one of the reasons they can't let go and let God is because they have a sense of duty in their life to be obeying Him or to be working for Him or doing this or that. And we ought to do, and there's so much oughts. And that comes back to this thing. I do believe there is a place where we walk on this earth and really function for the Lord. And I believe that as the body of Christ, as He draws folks together, there's a place of being like Jesus and Father were when they walked. There's a place of being in that deep agreement where there is an incredible satisfaction of just experiencing Him saying, yeah, look, this is where I'm about. This is what I plan. And because we are not going to put our hands on it or rush to do it, but to say, I trust you there. Yeah. We'll trust you for that, Lord. Or say amen to you in this. And again and again, what does God use in this word? What of us can He use? It's faith. He responds to that which is trust in Him. And when it's come from Him and goes back to Him as a response of our hearts to say, yes, you're able for this.
Hmm.
I may not understand it all, but I do trust you. This thing seems impossible to work out, but Lord, somehow I know you're able for it. That's a wonderful way to walk. And it excites me because we've been very privileged over many, many years to walk closely with some brothers and sisters. It just excites me that there can be in the heart of God a hearing in one and another, so that when one hears this word and another says, oh, yes, I agree deeply there.
Mm.
Let's trust Him together for this. That's special.
Mm.
And I just feel that maybe there's something in the spirit these days of God quickening that amongst His children, that we start to hear Him and we start to become excited with the things that are on His heart for this world that so badly needs His order, needs the expression of kingdom order, the way of Jesus. That's just very strong in me these days, and I just desire to walk. I desire to walk with my brothers and sisters in such a way that I'm sensitive to be hearing what they're hearing, and that we would fellowship together in a way. It's delightful to spend time just laughing and joking and enjoying the Lord. Sometimes we need to just be prepared to express, look, this is, I've carried a concern for the last week about such and such. And they say, yeah, me too. Wonder what is on God's heart here. Let's, whatever it takes to find out what's on his heart here, let's go for it. Maybe we need to draw aside and take time to hear him. Maybe we need to fast and pray. Whatever it is, that's a different thing from working at it. It's totally different from working at trying to please God. It's walking in this agreement with him. And I believe that's what Jesus meant when he says, because I go to the Father, the works that I do, greater works than these shall you do. It's not about us being huge, spectacular people who are doing great wonders. It's about a people who have come to know oneness with him and Father.
Yeah. And I get back to what we talked about earlier. It's about us trying to get God to do what we think. Usually that's what we do, prayer requests. We'll sit around and say, what's the best thing God can do
here?
The projection of our own humanity.
Exactly.
And then try and get him to
There's
do it. And he doesn't
that.
Do it. And we get all frustrated. But I do like that deep listening that just, I want to hear him.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of that, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, until we've really learned to enjoy God's love in our life, don't worry about trying to do something.
No. Just it's not about doing.
Take years.
Take whatever.
And learn to enjoy what it is to live loved. Now, learning to live loved by him, then I think when God nudges us into that, I want to make you part of a gift to someone else, and you're ready to lay down your agenda. It's not this, God's asked me to do this horrible thing. It really is to enjoy the things that God's doing. And even this time in Paris of mine not, and I'm literally got up every morning and said, what are we doing today, honey? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go?
Right.
Where do you want to eat? It was just all day so wrapped up in what she wanted to do. And this was not a difficult obedience. I enjoyed every minute of it. I enjoyed being her servant while we were in her city doing what the things she wanted to do.
How much rubbish would be taken out of our lives if his agenda was more important than ours?
Yeah. And if we really bought into that at a heart level, this is the best. Not, okay, we'll settle for God's agenda.
He delights to share his heart.
Yeah.
Imagine what it must be like for God to wait, for people to say, look, to respond and say, I'm interested in what you're doing, Lord. Not what I can do for you, but what you're doing. And that you would share your heart with me, that is incredible. And that there's no reluctance in you to share who you are and what you're doing. And then, maybe another brother or sister comes alongside and we find something together, or a husband and wife, and we find something we agree deeply on in God, in the Lord. That's amazing and so rich. And what we've done in all of this is just agree with God and start to trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much our agenda, because we're so often, even the thing of looking to know he loves me, that can be our agenda sometimes, as opposed to letting him set that agenda and letting him be the one who just warms our hearts with what's on his heart.
And I think people who struggle into that love oftentimes, what they've really said is, I will know God loves me when he does X, Y, or Z when I have X, Y, or Z feeling. Then I'll know. And I think that's still the projection of our agenda on God.
Totally so.
And I think part of this whole detox time or what you went through for a year and a half of just setting your heart before the Lord, letting him unwire, rewire, is really God getting underneath that whole even need to be used by God, it sounds so holy.
Yeah, but absolutely
it's so
fleshy.
Twisted.
Totally.
Because there's no context in which I'm going to use my children.
Exactly.
And when I think about even God's delight in us, it's not always God delights when we are doing the things he wants us to do or being engaged with his purpose. My goodness, when my grandkids come over, I just delight in them when they're doing little kid things and laughing and playing. Wouldn't God have that same delight in us?
Absolutely.
at a far greater level? So,
and as we grow up, you delight in your kids. As they grow up and you see them mature and you see them grow to deeper understanding about things, you say, ah, this is fantastic. And how much more if we grow up with a heart to just grow up in Him and to become mature, to take responsibility. But it's not about doing, it's about hearing and agreeing.
Yeah. And just live inside God's unfolding purpose.
Absolutely.
As a point of great enjoyment. I love it when my kids, adult kids now, and they come hang out with me and we're talking about something and we see something together. And there's great agreement about even what God's making known in their lives or ours. Sarah and I, we just had the wonderful sharing with our kids about new things that God's doing in Sarah and me. And our kids were absolutely surprised, but so excited.
Mm-hmm.
And even just that gentle agreement of owning something God's doing and celebrating it together.
But I ask you, how many people would talk so openly with their kids if they weren't confident in His love?
Yeah.
About things that are deeply personal?
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
It is a challenge, I think, because I've asked Sarah about some of that's going on, because, you know, we've lived our lives pretty publicly the last little while.
I know you have.
And not because we feel like we have to. It's just, I feel like what helps people most connect with this journey is
authenticity.
And if you're not being authentic, if you're just, you know, pretending to be something or just putting your best foot forward or whatever, you're just doing a disservice to people. So we've been very honest about I still believe in privacy. I don't think everybody gets to know everything going on with me and Sarah. But we do at times put some of the things that Sarah's been doing. And I've asked Sarah, whatever you're not comfortable with, let's just be honest about it. Mm. Even before, I'll ask her 3 or 4 times just to make sure she's not giving me. But part of what God's doing in her is to be more authentic in the world.
Yeah.
And I think what you just said, what's brought Sarah to this point, at this point in her life? I think the growing security in God's love for her is now letting her let go of something she's even hidden from herself for 50-some-odd years.
Mm. That was one of the things. When I finally, way back there, when I knew, I woke that day and knew this different heat, I can rest and trust in His love. Within days or weeks, I felt the Lord was saying to me, now I want you to live exposed, not trying to hide, not putting up a facade. There was no need anymore. Let people see the weakness. There's nothing to be afraid of. Yeah. If you're secure in my love, you don't care what anyone else thinks.
Yeah.
And I remember a lot of people were very offended with that because you were supposed to be maintaining the testimony, and here you are talking weakness. But it's a wonderful place to be where you couldn't care less what people think, not because you don't want to have a good testimony and so on, but because your weakness can be a doorway for His greatness and His grace to fall, because without that, we have nothing.
And I love that, and I love the awareness that it's just not. I know, you know, 20 years ago, everybody's about transparency. Just be real. Just be open. Yeah. And people are getting killed and abused by people.
It's not just rubbish. No.
It's not just openness. It's the security and love so that whatever I get back from you, whether it's affirmation or rejection, it's not going to dent anything here.
Absolutely.
Because I know I'm loved by God. I might be wrong. You might tell me something. Wayne, you might really double check this. And you have at times. You've at times said, Wayne, are you sure this is where God's leading you? And in the old days, it would be, oh, that's kind of offensive, and please don't be probing there. But in this journey, when I know I'm loved by God, even if I'm making a mistake and a brother's pointing it out, this is not bad news.
Nothing bad news in this.
Yeah. And so I think what I hope people get in this, wherever you are, if you're just starting out to sort out how much you love, you're back where you were in that year and a half, be comfortably there.
Don't feel like
I've got to jump up to this where I'm transparent and real. And No. Let God bring you on. He'll woo you into a reality.
Yep.
That when you're doing the things you're doing, it's not this horrible obedience to this demanding God, but you really are enjoying Him and then enjoying that purpose that unfolds. And I love the emphasis that we've talked about this couple of days. for brothers and sisters to be alongside us who are also on this journey. And that deep agreement of holding things before God, even for weeks or months at a time, until clarity. I don't make the clarity come. We don't. Let's make a decision by Friday. I think those are the dumbest things we've done in times past.
Totally.
We're going to pray, and by Friday, we're going to make a decision. And by Friday, God hasn't spoken, so we make our decision.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we try and get God to bless it, and it's a disaster.
Or then afterwards, we see this is totally the opposite decision, but we can't change because we made a decision.
Yeah. And now we'll look foolish.
Yes, absolutely.
I said God told us this.
Yeah.
What I notice about people who hear from God is they don't say, God told me to do so-and-so. They'll often say, I have a sense of this. Yeah. They hold it lightly.
Yes.
Because I can say now, God told me Paris was a gift to Sarah. At the moment I'm hearing it, I'm going, wow, that's a wild thought. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. But as I explore, I like what Jack Gray said about it, as you explore it over days, if it's God, it grows stronger.
And if not,
it's just
fades
you.
Away.
It grows weaker.
Yeah.
I love that.
Absolutely.
And so there's no hurry to get along this process. If you're at the very beginning of it and you're just sorting out what it means for God to love you and for you to be secure in that love and not perform anymore, man, enjoy that. Take 10, 15 years.
Take as long. It's a lifetime.
There's no hurry to get on to these things. But I do like, and this was part of our conversation yesterday, I do like that. I've heard in this trip, there's a fresh stirring about among people who've been sorting out this love journey for a while, who are really have a hunger to be more engaged with God's purpose.
Yes.
From
so
wanting.
Important. It's so important.
What are you doing in the world, God? And how are we alongside you in that?
Yeah.
Not because we have to, not because you can't if we won't. It's just we want to be with you in the things you're doing on the earth. And there's no greater joy for me than being part of that with people.
Absolutely so. And you know, part of it, these thoughts have come out of looking to the next generation and looking to where the church goes, and you know, how long have we got on this planet? It's taken me 64 years to get to this stage, and you think, well, I'm only scratching the surface.
Yeah.
I'm only just beginning to understand his heart in so many things. And wouldn't it be wonderful for a generation of people who don't have to battle through and come through all the silly mistakes I've made, out of knowing him, to just be people who can. I just pray, Lord, may you just be revealing your heart clearly and deeply to your children, such that it's easy to see where you're going. That it's not a struggle, because really the truth of it is, if the new covenant means anything, it's about God showing himself. And this thought of, you know, that it's a strange thing for people to hear God, that's about, and many Christians saying, well, you know, you can't trust that and so on. That is the ultimate about what God wants for us, is that there would be in his children just a knowing him and a sharing and talking to him and getting to hear his voice. What more, what's more important than that for us?
Yeah, and I get the email all the time. People say, you know, I'm learning to hear from God. And people say, how arrogant of you that you think you can hear from God.
Yeah.
I think that's the religious approach to people who are afraid they're not.
Yeah.
They don't want anybody else doing it. And so, and you can quote millions of stories of the arrogant idiot claiming God's, you know,
totally
God told me for you to give me $1,000 and all that rubbish. But to comment, to watch people who listen to God and knowing the listening of God costs them something. God's not just speaking their agenda to them.
No, he's not.
They are learning to live in a different reality and with a different joy.
And I think he brings a quietness of spirit along with his word. Do you ever notice when you hear the Lord's word, there's release in your spirit? Yes, Lord. Ah, I have such peace about hearing that, what you're saying. Yeah, I can believe that. It's like, you know, Paul talks about the peace of God acting like an arbiter, acting like a judge, and just following. And sometimes when the Lord just impresses on your heart, you just know by that sort of flood of peace that just fills your heart, this is the way he wants me to walk. Even if it's a challenge, even if it seems to be impossible, but you just know this is God.
And one of the fruits of that, I think, is there's no need or desire to force it on anyone else.
No, absolutely not. Because you realize how precious, how it's come. It's not by me trying. It's not by studying. It's not by anything. It's just that.
That's why, like you said about having deep agreement with brothers and sisters, you can't have deep agreement
unless
if you're trying to manipulate each other to see what you see.
Totally not.
Deep agreement comes out of the absolute freedom not to see.
Totally.
To challenge.
Totally.
And then when people who you know, I had someone offer me something, a use of a home for a retreat thing a year ago. And I sat down with them and said, I really appreciate that you've offered this to me. And I might really want to use it someday, but I have to know something. If I call you up and say, you know what, could we use it this weekend? And you have something else going, or it's not even convenient for you, will you have the guts to tell me no? And if you don't have the guts to tell me no, I'll never ask. Because I won't ask a favor of someone. And our whole American mindset is, if you're asked, you have to do.
Right.
And that's so corrupting.
Yes,
the freedom, agreement in life only comes where there's freedom not to.
Yeah, sure.
It's not my heart. It's not what God's shown me.
Yeah,
so I let it go.
Yeah.
Before we go, I know we're at the end of this, but I want to read you this email. I got this email just a few minutes ago before we started this podcast. And this is so much of the story of a lot of people that were in this field yesterday. And I didn't know if you had any comments about it or not, but I thought you'd just read it because I love it. He was referring to the podcast we had called Pastor's Crap and Pastor Crap. And I know that's a very offensive word in the UK, much
it
more
is.
Than at home. So I apologize for the name of it. But he said, I love the title of that one. As one that started listening to your broadcast recently and loved it, I went into your archives and it wasn't for this title, the controversial and totally honest ring to it, I wouldn't have listened to it. But in my opinion, it's one of the best podcasts on the list. For me, it was water to a thirsty parched throat. I started living outside the box a few months ago, and your podcast has been the greatest source of encouragement thus far. I was the worship leader at the institution I was part of. I can relate to the truth this podcast is addressing. I pray for my former pastor because I can see his heart and how he has become a victim of the institution he is serving. And the institution I was a part of is still reeling from my decision to walk away. But it was a no-brainer the moment I realized I wasn't doing what I was doing for God, but for all the wrong reasons, ranging from fear and guilt to what people thought of me. And I wouldn't trade the freedom I now have in my walk with the Father for anything in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
I've replaced the feeling of being constantly tired and burnt out, ever threatening, with the feeling of total freedom from the shackles of religion.
Mm.
That's the story of so many people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Exhausted, trying to fit into this thing.
Man's expectation and religion, those two curses.
Oh, they marry well, don't
curses.
They?
Yes.
And they marry well.
Yeah, they do.
Just overlap each other so clearly. And yet the challenge to walk away, and I like what he said about his pastor.
Yeah.
I see him captive of this thing he served. Not, he's the evil guy doing all. And I like the heart of, people are captive to this thing of, I want to work hard to be God's kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only tools we were given were religious obligation. We weren't given, no, come close.
Yeah.
Let this.
No one ever said that. They said, you do this course and you do this, you learn, you read your Bible this way, you pray X amount of hours, and so on it goes. And all the things that in themselves are wonderful. But each individual thing. But coming from that perspective of working at it for God, it's so destructive
and
so corrosive.
And that's happening even with this talk about living in the Father's heart and the Father's love. And all of a sudden it's being turned into year-long curriculums and three-month curriculums studying this and that. And my heart just, well-intentioned though it be, and I know it's probably better content than we've shared in religion for a long time, but when the conventions are, here are the principles you wrap your brain around, and then you'll be able to live and act differently. And part of me is, it never works that way until you get to crawl up in the lap of a Father who loves you, and you get to begin to know Him. Now, yeah, a lot of those things are true, but it's not the truth of the doctrine that's important. It's the reality of the relationship.
Yeah, and, totally.
Yeah, and that's where I go, man, I love that people are finding the freedom. And sometimes, as Jack Gray said a couple weeks ago or months ago on this podcast, you know, his word from God was, until you leave the church man's building, you're not going to see the one I'm building.
Was. Yeah.
And I know it's not true of everyone. There's other ways God makes revelation. Mm. But when God speaks to your heart, you've got to follow, even if your best friend pastor doesn't understand and your family doesn't understand. And yet, I love there's no regrets. People who've gone on this journey, you don't meet people that say, man, I was really better off back in the day doing all the hard work I was
doing.
I've
yet to meet one.
I haven't either. The freedom, even just in the beginning days of the freedom of seeing how God works and moves in the world and that He enjoys me and I'm inside that reality. The beginning days of that freedom are so incredibly precious.
Totally.
And it just grows from there. It doesn't get less.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So.
It's good.
It's good to be with you again. It's good to be with the brothers and sisters here in Ireland.
Nice.
And your hospitality again to not just Sarah and I and some others who come over, but even to other folks to come gather in a field. Just the generous spirit of the Irish folks who invite people. I know I send way too many people your direction because I want to meet these people. But I love how easy it is for people to come among you and feel loved and go away with a greater, just watching around the circle. There's 80 people, and we had about maybe half an hour of some kind of corporate conversation. This was 4 hours of
just
little pockets of conversation going around. And some of the people who are here, who don't, you guys are going to get along, you guys are going to get together every week? You don't do something every month?
Nope.
So for them, it's like a family reunion?
Yeah, for a lot of them, you just take up where you left off.
And yet I've been to things like that where people who know each other well, who haven't seen each other often, they end up stuck in their own circles just reconnecting. And when I watched yesterday, all these new people have come from various places. And some have come to meet me. But how quickly other people folded them into the conversation.
Yeah,
so I'd look around the circle sometimes saying, who's being left out? Because I'll go hang with somebody who looks like they're left out. I can't think of a moment yesterday when I looked around that I could see somebody.
It was fascinating. Deep conversations. If you went in and you moved in and you felt like you were interrupting.
So I already got a request this morning from people saying, why don't we do this again in Ireland and we'll come with people from all over the world.
Whoa.
When God says, we might do that.
Yes.
But love you, brother.
Okay,
love our friendship.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. God bless.
For traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.